I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
One, two, three, four. Tall and tan and young and lovely. The girl from Ipanema goes walking. And when she passes, each one she passes go, ah. She walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gentle that when she passes, each one she passes say, ah. Oh, but I watch her so sadly. How can I tell her I love her? Yes, I would give my heart gladly. But each day when she walks through the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at me. Tall and tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking. And when she passes, I smile, but then she doesn't see. She just doesn't see. No, she just doesn't see me. She just doesn't see.
Because I do more.
Because I do more.
Because I do more.
Because I do more. Because I do more.
Senhoras e senhores, Mike Tyson.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, one.
We're gonna stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
It is the thickest blood on this planet. The feet that slip and slide in spilled lakes of black blood on back roads marked with rusted dead end signs. They don't fit into any shoes, not Nikes and not Reeboks, though they make them across the sea and sell them to you and me for 50 times their value. None of them can hold the blood that coagulated not so long ago in the lower extremities of off-color corpses strung up from trees like drying figs or hanging potpourri to sweeten scenes of southern gallantry. Before cushioned insoles and arch supports, there were feet that sank in rusted chains and backs that cracked beneath the weight of slave names like Jones, Smith, Johnson, Williams, or even Hilfiger. And black butts that bore marks forever from irons that preceded those for pressing and curling naps yanked straight. Before relaxers, weaves, and pink lotion. Branding irons, children, now that you've crossed the ocean, right? Step up here, little dog, in the auction block and open up your mouth. Right, good strong teeth, good muscle tone. You ought to pick a ton of cotton. Must be worth $10, maybe more. See here, ladies and gentlemen, how much can I get for this here? Barely used, top of the line. Fast forward to Calvin Klein. And modern ownership tags for black behinds, courtesy of Ralph Lauren, a.k.a. Low, Low. Well, how low can you go? Call on black consumers if you want the cash flow, cause they quick to flip and spend up all they dough. And don't front money, act like you know. We give it up to the Brooklyn malls. We give it up to the uptown malls. Cause the white folks figure ain't no questions for another that material possessions can't answer. Keep us preoccupied from what we wear to what we drive while our mothers are dying of cancer. We tuck our low self-esteem into Euro trash jeans from overpriced from Donna Karen as we toast with Hennessy to covert white supremacy. Hiding the thickest blood on the planet, we wearing it under our clothes. The way God dressed our souls, but check how the proud blood flowed through 1996. Adding fuel to the flames of some bullshit brand names, cause we couldn't see past the next pair of fat kicks. It is the thickest blood on this planet. The blood that sprays and spills in buckets, soaks and stains the nightly news. But fuck it, a colored life still ain't worth but a few ducats. That blood can't be contained by any mind that cannot see a great black forest for all these cracker trees. I'm talking about Afro Madonna and child and child and child and child and whoops, there goes another one. And mama don't know the answer, so baby got to guess. Oh, say, young blood, you want to tell me what George Marciano ever did for a Negro, a Boricua, Chicano? Brothers and sisters, their pockets like blood blisters, ready to pop, ooze, and drop cash so hot and so fast it makes a spark. Yeah, mommy, because now I got my upside-down triangle, my designer question mark. Oh, why ask why that just don't make you complete? It's vanilla concealer for your chocolate heartbeat, pumping the thickest blood on this planet while we take it for granted that more Selma churches won't be bombed, more bullet-riddled bodies won't be embalmed, another cop won't commit murder, turn around and get a raise while we picking over the racks from white-owned Dr. J's to Models, Macy's, and Saks. They just think we ain't never gonna change our ways and find the answer back. No, sir, I don't want to wear your britches. No, sir, I don't want to grant your wishes that all us Negroes should continue to hide in your shoes and your clothes as if we should take pride in your savage traditions, in genocide. All the spirits you extinguish and never batted one blue eye, yet your vultures on our culture like white on brown rice leech our blood and sell it back. Special price on this blood that races through the African veins of the child on his way to the mall in White Plains to catch a confused, lost, land-stealing Columbus Day sale on a Fila jogging suit for his brother in jail. That blood is your blood. It's my blood. It's our blood. It is the thickest blood on this planet.
This is the conspiratorial view of history as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
Now, this is a very interesting one. This is the Adidas shackled shoes, and there are people who have asked me, what do you think about this? And like, to me, it's like, it's so silly anyway. It's like, you know, why do people get so upset about these types of things? Well, I'll tell you why people get upset. They get upset because media wants them to get upset, and that's precisely why this propaganda was issued in the first place, to get you upset. People understand this dynamic in the first place. It's designed to get people upset. So here we have the Adidas shoes. If y'all can click on that link and or click on the picture and the shoes will pop up. And if you look at the shoes themselves, they actually look quite ridiculous. I mean, even if the shackles wasn't on there, the shoes would still look ridiculous. But you have these Adidas shoes, and then you have these plastic shackles that look like, you know, what would look like, you know, shackles for a slave, right? It's like, we're going to enslave you. We're going to put you in these shackles. So you put on these shoes and you shackle the shoes to your ankles. You're a slave. This is what the message is in terms of the propaganda and the subliminal here. I mean, it's really not really subliminal. It's like almost saying we own you. Okay. Buy our shoes. And people have been doing this for a long time. So why are you complaining anyway? They have owned you in a sense. You know, if you're standing in line to get Jordans 2 days in advance, and then when the doors open, you're trampling over little babies to get to the Jordans, you are enslaved. It may not necessarily be physical enslaving, but at the very least, your mind is enslaved. You're in a state of mind control. Okay, so what are you tripping off of when it comes to these shoes being released that actually reveal the truth in terms of what the shoes represent economically for people? It represents a level of enslavement. Economic enslavement. And Adidas is just one example. Nike's is a whole nother fiasco in and of itself. Is this not true, ladies and gentlemen? You have to have the newest Jordans. Huh? That's slavery. Okay, so this shoe isn't, I mean, it's not like the shoe isn't telling, it's not like it's telling a lie. It's actually telling the truth. But because they're shackles, people are triggered. Again, there's that word. They're triggered to have an emotional reaction to it. Because the shackle reminds them of slavery, and slavery was a racial issue, and in the midst of all the race-based mind control programming, they must react emotionally. That's precisely what this propaganda was issued in the first place. Do you really think they were trying to sell these shoes? They look horrible. Okay? Ain't nobody, I mean, there may be someone who might buy them, I guess. But it's not like they're going to sell, you know, make millions upon millions upon millions upon millions, hundreds of million dollars off of these shoes. It wasn't meant to. It was issued to stimulate a particular response in the general population. That's what it was issued for. And then once the response was actualized, then the shoe was taken off the market, right? And at least the release date was taken off the market. So I want people to understand what's taking place here. It's not that the shoe itself was meant to be actually released and sold. The shoe was, in terms of the information about the shoe, was released to make people have a particular response. Okay, so let me read real quickly here, the first article there for Adidas. There's a link there. Go ahead and click on it. It says, new Adidas shoes come with chain that resembles shackles. Adidas have released a new shoe design set to hit stores in August. Oh, August, huh? Hmm? Say, they haven't come out yet. Right, and ultimately they canceled the shoe, but they haven't come out yet. So it's not a reality. They're just showing it to people in advance of August. But the idea is to stimulate the emotional reaction, this race-based reaction based upon this triggering of slavery in people's subconscious mind. That's really what's taking place here. Their design is causing a chain of racial reactions. A chain of racial reactions? You see? Even how the story is written is designed, you know, and it's basically trigger words infused. It's almost like a joke, but it also makes people have a particular type of reaction. The shoe, JS Roundhouse Mids, feature gray, purple, and black coloring with orange handcuffs, which some have argued resemble shackles, to wrap around the ankles. An article on IndieWire.com suggested that the imagery of the shoes is disconcerting and potentially racist. It's not racist. Why do people think that everything is racist? People don't even know what racist, what is racist? See, the shoe is not racist. The shoe is an inanimate object. Can a shoe be racist? What, in order for someone to be racist, they must be a consciously aware being, right? It can't be an inanimate object. And what does it mean to be racist? Racist means that you perceive one race to be superior than another. Hmm? So does this shoe mean that one race is superior to the other? No, absolutely not. But why do people make the association? Because of the shackles. And the shackles make people think of what? Slavery. And slavery was based upon this notion that there was a superior race and there was an inferior race. You see the mind control hack, if you will. This is the propaganda. This is, in essence, the psychology that is being used in this case. See, when you take an intellectual approach, this is how you ascertain whether or not something is true and whether or not something is relevant. This is completely irrelevant. Especially to me, completely irrelevant. Someone went on to say here, I doubt this is what Run DMC envisioned when they rapped about their 50 pairs of Adidas way back when, a blogger from a site wrote. Yeah, and I remember that, you know. I mean, there's a lot of rappers. My Adidas, bust through cardboard doors, right? I've been buying the crap for years, but for decades now. Hip-hop artists propagandize this stuff, whether it's Nikes, right, whether it's Adidas, whether it's Puma, whether it's Kango. Propagandize this stuff. Put people in slavery in terms of economics because people are buying $100 shoes when they can be using that money to buy food for their children or books for their children. So you put people in slavery, in mental slavery, by propagandizing and marketing these shoes via hip-hop artists for decades. And then you throw some shackles on them, and now people get upset. It's ridiculous to me. And the truth of the matter is that the shoe itself with the shackles, it's actually an accurate representation of what has taken place, is it not? Adidas on their Facebook page had over 14 million likes and over 1,000 comments about the shoes, ranging from people saying, I need this, to whoever wears this is openly saying they are a slave. Like, come on, shackles on your ankles, and the actual sneaker design is obviously made for people of color to like. I refuse to be made a fool of. The caption underneath of the shoe, who's writing this stuff? Tighten up your style with JS Roundhouse Mids, dropping in August. Got a sneaker game so hot, you lock your kicks to your ankles. Are you serious?
My Adidas walk through closet doors and roam all over Coliseum floors. I slept on stage at Live Aid. All the people gave and the poor got paid. Yeah.
Texas Rangers TV broadcaster Dave Barnett is going to be off the air tonight because of last night's broadcast between the Rangers and the San Diego Padres. This was the talk of the town today. He was describing the action when he began saying things that just didn't make sense. CBS 11's Susie Solis joining us live now. Susie, what do we know this afternoon?
Well, Doug, Rangers management confirmed today that Barnett has had recurring migraine headaches. They say that may be the cause. Meanwhile, he'll be off the air for at least the next two Rangers games in San Diego.
Dave Barnett has been a play-by-play announcer for decades.
But the Rangers have a hot David Murphy.
But it was a sudden, nonsensical episode during the eighth inning of last night's Rangers game that is receiving nationwide attention.
This discussion involving a 2-1 game, the tying run at second, a leadoff single by Chase Headley. Go-ahead run is at fifth on what Adams is insisting on calling it a botched robbery. What actually happened was his henchman took a piece literally out of...
The incident was all the talk on sports radio today. And at 105.3, the Fan, on-air personalities and fans alike were concerned.
What came out of his mouth last night, I think, stunned everybody.
The Rangers confirmed today Barnett suffers from recurring migraine headaches.
People don't really know why it happens, but people who have migraines can have neurologic symptoms that mimic a stroke, and it sometimes can be very, very difficult to tell the difference.
And it's not the first time we've seen an on-air meltdown by a TV personality.
Barry Darrison.
Los Angeles reporter Serene Branson later said she suffered a migraine during a similar on-air episode last year at the Grammys.
A lot of times, yeah, the people are fully conscious that they can't control their language the way they want it to.
Barnett finished calling the Rangers game without further incident. But neurologist Dr. Greg Shallon says it's important to get evaluated as soon as possible after such an episode, as it may be the first sign of something much more serious.
Wisconsin has officially joined 25 other states in a lawsuit against President Obama's health care reform law. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen says Wisconsin is the latest state, including Iowa, Kansas, Maine, Ohio, and Wyoming, to join Florida's suit. The states claim in The Exorcist saw unto Sracho and Pelee Bringritz by health urgent.
Now, Defense Minister McLeod did confirm today that more than 18 fighter jets are spending about as much as 20 and ready to assist the 600 deployed over the amount needed. Now, it did depend that how the NOLAN reemerges RN, while the university or the UN mission as whole received support from all batteries in the hues of the gardens of today.
CBS 2's Serene Branson is live at the Staples Center with highlights and backstage coverage we're seeing for the very first time. Serene.
Well, a very, very heavy, heavy deportation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go to Terry's English for the bit. They had the pit. Nedověděli jsme se nic, dá se tedy předpokládat, že odpoledne pravdy budeme úspěšnější. A teď se pojďme podívat na to, co přinesly poslední hodiny na české politické scéně.
Soccer action?
Yeah, I did in glimpses, but I'm more fascinated with Paul the Octopus.
Yeah.
He's picked Spain over the Netherlands, and he's not wrong, so, you know, off we go.
Well, it was one of those little main surprises. We walk in the house, it looked like one great big room, and then you could break it up like that, and each one could have its own separate heat. And I think, wow, that's, you know, that's, I thought, is this kid ever going to get a driveway? And that depends. Did he threaten the Hoover? You know, has he not put away the dishes? And a lot of people will keep doing, just keeping their shirt off. There's no any reason at all to get it off.
Exactly.
That's all you get. Anything goes, yeah. Hey, oh, am I still in tune? All right, go ahead.
What really happened on that Thursday here at Augusta High School that led to Chris Wood's death?
The fuck is that? I'm dying this country ass uptown. They flying in my mouth. I can't see pilot. Let's get the fuck out of this country. I can't see me.
Pretty baby, snap. Click, 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 all night long. Click, click. Click, 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 That's all, folks. Thank you so much.
A group of hunky cardinals appeals to Pope Benedict to relax the celibacy requirement. A capricious god violently shakes an ant farm the day after bestowing orange slices on the colony. And a plane is making a different noise now, according to a man who's always certain he's about to die. Anything even slightly more abstract than this quickly scrolling newsprint and large logo would surely bewilder your unrefined visual palette. This is The Onion Week in Review. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney spent the majority of his visit at an Ohio-based paper factory yelling at employees to work harder, sources said Tuesday. Romney reportedly arrived at the Gregson Turner Paper Company at approximately 10 a.m. and within minutes was mercilessly hounding workers all throughout the paper's production cycle to, quote, get their acts together and start pounding out some paper. Shoppers at a Hannaford supermarket could only speculate that the middle-aged woman angrily demanding a price check on a pack of rice pudding was once a carefree youth.
I don't care what it says on your screen. You know, this is why people go to the store across the street, because of the way they're treated here. You know, nobody likes it here.
Those watching the woman angrily asking for a manager over a $1.20 price difference imagined that the woman was once a fresh-faced college graduate, too spirited and fun-loving to throw a bitter tantrum in front of a room of complete strangers.
She was probably once just some freewheeling college kid, you know? Her biggest concern was which one of her friends she was going to hang out with at night and whether they were going to meet at the movies or a bonfire on the beach. Now look at her. You know, I'll bet if you'd have told her 10 or 15 years ago that one day she'd be ripping into a grocery store clerk with a room full of strangers staring at her, she'd have been horrified. It's sad.
Filmmaker Peter Jackson talked for an extended period of time Sunday about his personal Hobbit friends, which was either the beginnings of a brilliant marketing strategy for his forthcoming adaptation of The Hobbit, or a sign that the director is completely losing his grip on reality and is on the verge of a full-on mental breakdown. Describing in great detail his relationships with Bilbo, Frodo, and other members of the fictional race imagined by J.R.R. Tolkien in the 1930s, the Academy Award winner's comments were either carefully orchestrated by New Line Cinema or symptomatic of severe clinical paranoia.
Jackson's in-depth stories of his time living in the Shire with Samwise Gamgee really show you a director eager to bring the world of Middle-earth to his audiences, but of course could just be the ramblings of a very mentally ill man.
In other news, the deep orange sun beautifully sets on Topher Grace's career. A few years in the military would have really straightened out a troubled teen killed in Afghanistan, and a man on the verge of self-realization instead turns to God.
Tremendously important to think about. We put it off. Death is swept under the carpet in our culture. In the hospital, they try to keep you alive as long as possible in utter desperation. They won't tell you that you're going to die. When their relatives have to be informed that it's a hopeless case, they say, don't tell this to the patient. And all the relatives come around with hollow grins and say, well, you'll be all right in about a month, and then we'll go and have a holiday somewhere and sit by the sea and listen to the birds and whatnot. And the dying person knows that this is mockery. Well, of course, we've made death howl with all kinds of ghouls. we've invented dreadful afterlives. I mean, the Christian version of heaven is as abominable as the Christian version of hell. I mean, nobody wants to be in church forever. Children are absolutely horrified when they hear these hymns which say, prostrate before thy throne to lie and gaze on thee. They can't imagine what this imagery means. Idea of what might happen after death. Well, you're going to be faced with your judge, the one who knows all about you. This is Big Papa, who knows you were a naughty boy and a very naughty girl, especially girl, from the beginning of things. He's going to look right through to the core of your inauthentic existence. And what kind of heebie-jeebies may come up? Or you may believe in reincarnation, and you think that your next life will be the rewards and the punishments for what you've done in this life. And you know you got away with murder in this life. And the most awful things are going to happen next time around. So you look upon death as a catastrophe. Then there are other people who say, well, when you're dead, you're dead. Just nothing going to happen at all. So what you got to worry about? Well, we don't quite like that idea, because it spooks us. Go to sleep and never, never, never wake up. Well, a lot of things it's not going to be like. It's not going to be like being buried alive. It's not going to be like being in the darkness forever. I tell you what, it's going to be like as if you never had existed at all. Not only you, but everything else as well. That just there was never anything, and there's no one to regret it. And there's no problem. Well, think about that for a while. It's kind of a weird feeling you get when you really think about that. You really imagine it. Just to stop altogether. And you can't even call it stop, because you can't have stop without start. And there wasn't any start. There's just no thing. mean, you come to think of it, that's the way it was before you were born. I mean, if you go back in memory, as far as you can go, you get to the same place. As you go forward in your anticipation of the future as to what it's going to be like to be dead. Then you get these funny ideas. That this blankness is the necessary counterpart of what we call being. Now, we all think we're alive, don't we? I mean, we're really here? That there is something called existence? You know, the existentialists, Dasein, Thrownness, you know, here we are. But how could you be experiencing that as a reality unless you had once been dead? How, what gives us any ghost of a notion that we are here, except by contrast with the fact that we once weren't? And later on, won't we? But this thing is a cycle. Like positive and negative poles in electricity.
Top Michigan Republicans, well, they didn't like it when Representative Lisa Brown said the word vagina during a debate last week. So imagine what the guys of the GOP thought of this protest tonight. Hundreds of people gathered outside the Capitol in Lansing, Michigan to listen to a performance of the Vagina Monologues. 11 female lawmakers took the stage. This all stems from a debate over abortion legislation last Wednesday. Representative Lisa Brown was censured for saying this.
And finally, Mr. Speaker, I'm flattered that you're all so interested in my vagina, but no means no.
Republican leaders insist that they were offended by her rape reference, not the word vagina. Brown was not allowed to speak again. GOP wouldn't let her debate a teacher retirement bill the very next day. Totally different subject. Representative Barb Byram was also silenced. She tried to suggest an amendment to legislate vasectomies. She got shut down.
The clerk will open the board. Members may vote at their desks. The amendment is not adopted. Are there further amendments? Are there... Representative, you are out of order. Would the clerk please read in the next amendment?
Michigan Republicans say both women simply violated the rules of decorum, and the leader of the House accused both women of throwing temper tantrums. But there could be some serious legal fallout for the Republicans. This sign from today's crowd, the protest tonight, says it all. Vaginas brought you into the world, and vaginas will vote you out.
Is calling us to bow down and pray. Mediocrity is calling us to watch TV. Plutocracy is calling us to open a vein and to work 12 ruling hours a day. Democracy is calling me to do something bad. Democracy is calling me to do something bad. Psychology is calling us to roll up our sleeves and take a hard look at our world of disease. Jealousy is binding us with poison rope to tighten around our throats and choke off our hope. Democracy is calling me to do something bad. Democracy is calling me to do something bad. The
philosophies are telling us to make big plans and dream of success as we sit on a can. Mendacity is calling us to join in the race, to spit in the wind and pick up the pace. Beating around the bush, jogging your memory, jumping to conclusions, climbing the walls, swallowing pride, passing the buck, grasping at straws, dragging your feet, pushing your luck, spinning your wheels, flying off the handle, placing blame, eating crow, chewing nails, eating crow, chewing nails.
Hi, I'm looking for a job. Hi there. Welcome to Diebold Corporation. The name's Masters. Diebold provides security and facility solutions that increase productivity, improve customer service, reduce costs, and most importantly, enhance security for assets and people. Great, where do I sign? I really could use some money right about now. Leverage the legacy. Our products and services are supported by continuous research and development.
Chewing nails.
Knowledgeable professional sales.
Crow, chewing nails.
Service.
Eat crow, chewing nails.
Good evening, I'm Bill Weir. The verdict for Jerry Sandusky tonight, guilty on 45 counts of sexually abusing young men, not guilty on 3 counts. Since the allegations first surfaced, Penn State and its storied football program has been rocked by the horrific accounts of serial sexual predation by the once beloved coach. This conviction tonight makes it very likely the 68-year-old will live out the rest of his life in prison.
No! Stop it already!
The subject of this speech is a topic which has been discovered recently and which may not exist at all. I may be talking about something that does not exist. Therefore, I'm free to say everything or nothing. I, in my stories and novels, often write about counterfeit worlds, semi-real worlds, as well as deranged private worlds inhabited often by just one person, while meantime the other characters either remain in their own worlds throughout or are somehow drawn into one of the peculiar ones. This theme occurs in the corpus of my 27 years of writing. At no time did I have a theoretical or conscious explanation for my preoccupation with these pluriform pseudo-worlds, but now I think I understand. What I was sensing was the manifold of partially actualized realities lying tangent to what evidently is the most actualized one, the one which the majority of us, by consensus gentium, agree on. Later that day, back home again, but still deeply under the influence of the sodium pentothal, I had a short, acute flash of recovered memory. Then, in mid-March, a month later, the total body of memories, intact and entire, began to return. You are free to believe me or to disbelieve, but please take my word on it that I am not joking. This is very serious, a matter of importance. At that time, I had no idea what I was seeing. It resembled nothing that I had ever heard described. It resembled plasmic energy. It had colors. It moved fast. It collected and then dispersed. But what it was, what he was, I am not sure even now. In other words, it's a common theme in my writing that a dark-haired girl shows up at the door of the protagonist and tells him that his world is delusional, that there's something false about it. Well, this did finally happen to me. I even knew that her hair would be black. I had an actual complete sense of what she would look like and what she would say. She did appear. She was a total stranger. And she did inform me of this fact, that some of my fictional works were, in a literal sense, true. I wrote out these dreams in novel after novel, story after story, to name two in which this prior ugly present obtained most clearly, I cite The Man in the High Castle and my 1974 novel about the U.S. as a police state called Flow My Tears, The Policeman Said. I'm going to be very candid with you. I wrote both novels based on fragmentary residual memories of such a horrid slave state world. People claim to remember past lives. I claim to remember a different, very different present life. I know of no one who has ever made this claim before, but I rather suspect that my experience is not unique. What perhaps is unique is the fact that I am willing to talk about it. We are living in a computer-programmed reality, and the only clue we have to it is when some variable is changed and some alteration in our reality occurs. We would have the overwhelming impression that we were reliving the present, déjà vu, perhaps in precisely the same way, hearing the same words, saying the same words. I submit that these impressions are valid and significant. And I will even say this, such an impression is a clue that at some past time point, a variable was changed, reprogrammed as it were, and that because of this, an alternative world branched off.
HealthWorks, a new study has revealed bird flu could go airborne. Scientists found mutations of the virus in a lab that can be transmitted through the air from person to person, potentially causing a deadly pandemic. Researchers delayed releasing the results of the study over concerns terrorists could use this information to make biological weapons. The newly published papers do not include details on how to create the mutations.
So long, Liberty. Let's forget you didn't show. Not in my time, but in our sons and daughters' time. When you get the feeling, call and you got a room. Meantime, we're cutting our hands, a piggyback job in the streets of fear. We're getting all our best taekwondo moves on a barrel of beer. We're trying to get a signal on a regular FM. Do the TTI of a CNN. They're sucking the wine right out of the vine, spitting it out again.
The death penalty was thrown out today in Arkansas. The state Supreme Court ruled the state's capital punishment law is unconstitutional. It said only the legislature may set execution policy, namely the chemicals to be used in lethal injections. The 2009 law gave that authority to the State Department of Corrections. There have been no executions in Arkansas since 2005.
Groovin', let's cut out of the scene. Go groovin'.
Scientists may have made an exciting new discovery on the moon's south pole. It's estimated as much as 100 gallons of frozen water may be inside a massive crater. Researchers from NASA, MIT, and Brown University say they've been studying the Shackleton crater with the help of a laser device. The laser lights up the area, measuring the natural reflectivity inside. The measurements show the floor is much brighter than other nearby craters, suggesting there may be ice in it.
Kumo-D was in the treacherous spree. There's old school, new school, and Brownie McGee going underwater to
Australian judge has ruled that KFC must pay $8.3 million to the family of a girl left brain damaged after eating one of the fast food giant's chicken wraps. The girl, then 7 years old, contracted salmonella after eating at a KFC in New South Wales. She spent months in a coma, suffering significant brain damage. The family told the court it was becoming difficult to cover her medical costs. KFC has denied responsibility.
Well, so long, Liberty. Just let's forget you never showed. Not in my time. But in our sons and daughters' time, you get the feeling. Oh, and you got a room. Meantime, we're cutting our hands on the keypad shop in the streets of fear, forgetting all those best taekwondo moves on a barrel of beer, trying to get a signal through from Ragger FM to the TTI bus, CNN, sucking this wine right out of the vine, and I'd spend it back again.
Former Vice President Dick Cheney's daughter has married her longtime partner. Mary Cheney and Heather Poe were married today in Washington, D.C. The two have been together for 20 years. Mary Cheney has given birth to the couple's two children, a boy and a girl. Gay marriage is legal in the District of Columbia.
Grooving, let's cut out of the scene. Go grooving. Grooving, let's cut out of the scene. Go grooving. Drive, drive. This is no object lesson for I.
When shots rang out at a suburban mall, our team rushed to the scene. Was anyone injured or killed? Had the shooter been apprehended, or was he still on the loose? We had no information whatsoever. This was a raw story.
The call just came in over the police radio. We don't have time to set up the SAT truck. Yeah, right here. It's just me, my producer, Glenn, and a camera. Buckle up. This is the north side parking lot of the mall. We don't know where in the mall the shots were fired. We don't know what's going on. It looks like a security guard. I'm gonna see what he knows. Turns out he wasn't a security guard. He was just a guy in a blue suit. We still have zero information. Where do we go next? I have no idea. My gut says that way. Come on!
I see an ambulance! Confirmed ambulance sighting!
You'll see the space by the curb where an ambulance was parked just moments ago. I can still feel the residual heat.
Where did the ambulance go? Was anyone inside? One thing was clear, this story had yet to unfold. I managed to track down an employee. Hey!
Oh! I don't know what's going on. I just saw people leaving, so I left too.
Did you see the shooter?
There's a shooter? Oh my God, are people okay?
She had no information. The story was that new.
I'm trying. Gah! Trail's gone cold. Let's roll out. Let's go. Go, 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 go.
You have any idea where the shooter is? I was being stonewalled by police, but I couldn't let that stop me.
I see a helicopter. I spoke to a woman who said that she saw a man being escorted through the mall by police. Could this be the shooter? According to the description, he was a male, aged somewhere between 20 and 60. He's either Caucasian or part Latino or something like that. He was wearing some kind of a jacket. I wrote something else here, but he got smudged. However, that information later turned out to be false. The shooter, if there is one, remains at large. Needless to say, our thoughts are with the victims here today, if there are any, which we don't know yet.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
Mr. Tesla has built unusual machines for unusual people. But he would never talk about it.
I understand discretion. I just want the machine.
Finish your drink. I want to show you something. I think you'll have a special appreciation for our work.
I thought it was a secret.
You're a magician. Who's going to believe you?
Not long now. Our equipment requires a great deal of current. Tesla electrified the whole town in exchange for using the generators when we need them. We do our tests when the townspeople are asleep. Mr. Tesla doesn't want to scare anyone.
Mm-hmm.
the wires.
Exactly.
Where's the generator?
You saw it last week.
Well, that must be 10 miles from here.
15. And I have to ride all of them before I get to bed.
Magic. Real magic.
Now, gofindtheothers.com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.